This morning, for a while, I want to focus on the subject of Pentecost. Today, Whit Sunday, today, Pentecost, the day we remember that 2,000 years ago the Holy Spirit was given to a group of about 120 in the upper room in Jerusalem. And since that day, men and women, boys and girls all over the world have been baptized, they've been saved by the Spirit, then they've been baptized by the Spirit. And so I want to share this morning for a little while, and then in coming weeks, next Sunday is Father's Day, and I want to share about fathers next Sunday and a subject that's important for that day. And then I want to pick this subject up again, this subject of the Holy Spirit. It's such a big subject. I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to talk about speaking in tongues. I want to talk about the things that the Holy Spirit helps us to do. Some of those things we'll mention briefly today, but I want to get into it in more depth. We are a Pentecostal church, and we make no apologies for that. And I want everyone to be informed, and in the hope that you will go and you will tell others. And when people ask, the Bible says in Peter that if someone asks you a reason for the hope that you have, Peter says, be ready. And I want to help you, not because I feel I'm some kind of expert, but I've learned a little through the years, and I want to help you so that you'll have something you can share with people out there. And would encourage you to take notes or to listen online. If you have a computer at home, you can listen to the message in your own time, take some notes, look at the scriptures, maybe mark your Bible. You may wonder, what on earth does Jim carry that Bible for? I have new Bibles. I have to be honest, I can't find anything in them, it seems. This one is marked and marked and marked and marked and colored. And I have little poems and illustrations in the front of my Bible. It's very special, but I think what I need to do is treat it to a new cover. And then you'll just think he's got a new Bible, because inside is fine. And I think perhaps a Bible ought to be well marked, you know, and highlighted, and don't be afraid to do that and put little connecting things to connect verses to each other. It really is so helpful to me. So that's why I use this Bible. It's been to Uganda. It was there with me for 6 years, so it's a famous Bible. It's been in many a mud hut and many a thatched roof church in Uganda. And thank God it survived, and more important, I survived as well. And Ruth, of course. By way of a foundation scripture, can I ask you to turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 18? And if you're listening to this message by means of your computer or your iPhone or your tablet, then welcome in the name of the Lord. Today is Whit Sunday. It's the 8th of June, 2014. Welcome, and may the Lord bless you as you listen. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm always encouraged by that statement of Jesus. Like you, I read statistics. I read an alarming one recently that said that in 5 to 6 years, Islam will be the dominant religion in the world. Well, that's what the statisticians say based on surveys they have done. But I happen to believe that the name of Jesus is still above every name. I happen to believe that Jesus will continue to build his church. And I happen to believe that the Bible is true. John says in the book of Revelation, he says when he saw heaven, the vision he had of heaven, he said, I saw a number that no man could number. They tell us there's about 1.6 billion Christians in the world. There's a number. But John says, I saw a number that no man could number. I reckon we win, don't you? So I'm not scared by the statistics. As far as I'm concerned, the people in the Islam faith are just people who haven't as yet come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's all they are. The church that Jesus began building on the day of Pentecost, you know something? It was a Pentecostal church. We have no need to be ashamed. People say, what church do you go to? Are you tempted to say, oh, it's a church in New Road. Oh, it's Wellspring. It's an evangelifish. No, I mean evangelical church. Let's not be ashamed to say it's a Pentecostal church. Amen? And then what I do is I say to people, because you can see them. I'm very much a person who looks at eyes. I read body language. I read eyes. And you can see them, and you just know that in their mind they're thinking of some stupid television program they've seen where people drink poison, where people handle snakes. And just recently one pastor, the snake bit him, he handled one too many. And you see them dancing and shouting and bawling and screaming and perspiring. And you've got a big tablecloth and somebody's preaching. And somebody's there with a big tablecloth mopping their brow. God preserve me from that nonsense. And that's what people imagine Pentecost is. But Pentecost is not that. It's not barking like dogs as they have done recently in some of the revivals. It's not rolling on the floor. It's not doing cartwheels. It's none of those things. Pentecost is the power of the third person of the Trinity let loose within individuals, men and women. And yet he is under our control. Did you know that? The Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We can control it. We don't have to, none of us have to act like idiots, like clowns. I believe the Holy Spirit is the gentleman. I've known him a long time, since I was 18. He's never embarrassed me once in my life. Never once. And so I don't fear Pentecostal, true biblical Pentecostalism. It's about power. It's about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It's about the Spirit of God entering into the body of men and women who know Jesus as Savior and Lord. The Bible says our body, the body of the believer, what is it? It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Imagine you and I, we carry the Holy Spirit. We carry the third person of the Trinity within us. Hallelujah. So the church that Jesus began building on the day of Pentecost, it was a Pentecostal church. It was a Spirit-filled church. The birthday of the church was Pentecost. It was 9 a.m. in the morning. And the birthplace of the church was the upper room in Jerusalem. Prior to Pentecost, prior to the day of Pentecost, prior to the Holy Spirit coming, entering the 120 in the upper room, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came upon people. He came upon the prophets. He came upon the priests. He came upon the kings. The Bible says he moved Samson. Several times the Bible says the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And when the Spirit of God came upon Samson, he performed the most amazing things. Amen. But now when the church was born in the upper room in Pentecost, things were different. Luke chapter 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus told the disciples that things were going to be different from now on. He said, the Holy Spirit has been with you, but the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. John 14:17, Jesus said, even the Spirit of truth, John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and notice, he shall be in you. And Jesus then told the disciples that when the Holy Spirit was in them, they would receive what? Power. They would receive power. Prior to Pentecost, you had a bunch of disciples who were scared of their own shadow. You will read that they were locked in rooms for fear of the Jews. But after Pentecost, they were out there saying, bring it on. They were ready for anything. Good place to say hallelujah. Jesus told the disciples, he said, look, when the Holy Spirit comes into you and you're filled with the Spirit, you're baptized with the Spirit, you receive power. Acts 1 verse 4. Acts 1 4. Jesus being assembled with the disciples, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you've heard of me. For John, he's talking about John the Baptist. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Notice, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1 verse 14, the Bible says the disciples went into an upper room in Jerusalem, and they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now here's something you may not have noticed. One of the women in that group of 120 was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Virgin Mary was a Pentecostal. I'm sure somebody said hallelujah then. Praise God. Verse 15 says the number of the names together was about 120. Acts 2 verse 1, here it comes, here he comes, not it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. Holy Spirit's a he. When the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There's unity. What does Psalm 133 verse 1 say? What does Psalm 133 verse 1 say? Superwoman, you're wrong. How good. That's it, it's coming. How good and how pleasant it is where the brethren dwell together in unity, because there the Lord commands the blessing. Amen. May God help us to stay united in this church. Help me to keep the church united. There's somebody in the back going, ning, 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 ning. Let me know. Will you? Let me know. Say, have you spoken to Pastor Jim? Have you spoken to the elders? Don't you be the sounding board. Send them to the elders. They don't want to talk to me. Send them to Captain Mannering. Brother Arnold here. Bless him. Send them to Victor. Amen. Where the brethren dwell together in unity. Unity, 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 unity. Let's stay united. United we stand is the old saying, isn't it? Divided we fall. There's going to be no division in this church. No schism. Help me to detect it. Help me to deal with it. To root it out immediately, if not sooner. Well, they met together in one accord. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Hallelujah. This wasn't something was worked up. They didn't sit there going, no, thank God. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And it filled all the house. These cloven tongues as of fire sat upon each of them. There was a flame for every person. Hallelujah. Verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak in languages they had never learned, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, verse 6, this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, they were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 7, and they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, whatever they're speaking. The wonderful works of God. Amen. Verse 12. And they're all amazed. And they were in doubt, saying to one another, what does this mean? What meaneth this? Verse 13. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Typical, isn't it? I want to pause right there, just for a moment. Many people still mock the Pentecostals today. And in particular, many people mock the precious gift of the Holy Spirit called speaking in tongues, speaking in a language unlearned. Would you agree? Hello? They do. And there are many preachers and there are many teachers who go so far as to say that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Have you ever heard that? I have many times. For a time I was a pastor in Northern Ireland, my home country. And I had heard that there was a famous man. I'll not give you his name or tell you too much about him. But I heard there was this man that was very famous. People flocked to his Bible studies every week, about 400 people. And you know what happened to the cat? Curiosity killed the cat. Well, I thought I'd better go because some of my people were going and trying to be a good little under-shepherd. I wanted to find out where my sheep were grazing. And that's so important for pastors, so important for elders, so important for leaders. We need to know where our people are going. People are free to go where they want, but I like to know where they're going. Because if I'm not careful, they're going to come back with some of the junk they've heard out there. And they're going to start spreading it in the church. Would you agree? It's not going to happen here. Amen? Not on my watch. So I heard about these meetings and 400 people flocking. I thought, better go and check it out. I did. I almost blew a fuse that night. Because this man, this pastor, he began publicly mocking those who speak in tongues. And then he had the audience laughing loudly as he mimicked speaking in tongues. And I remember like yesterday thinking to myself, this man is on dangerous territory. Some years later, and I say it with a lot of sadness, some years later, he took a shotgun. Shot himself. You see, precious friends, Matthew 12:31, Jesus warned about the sin which would never be forgiven. Did you know there's a sin that will never be forgiven? This one. What is it? Jesus said, I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. So those people who mock, speaking in tongues, and say it's of the devil, please, will you lovingly, carefully warn them they're on dangerous territory? In my home country in Northern Ireland, there's a very large denomination. And this is written into their membership handbook. No member of this denomination is to practice tongues, whether in public or in private. Listen to this. Those who do so are automatically required to resign from the membership of this church and from the whole denomination if there is no repentance and if there's no desire to abandon the practice. That's a church in Northern Ireland. Let's continue to read Acts 2:14. Bible says Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. And he said to these people who have been saying, what's happening? What's going on? They don't understand it. These men drunk, what's going on? Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock. Verse 16. Three words. This is that. Can I ask you this morning, is what you've got, is it that? Pastor Jim, what are you talking about? Your experience of the Holy Spirit, is it in line with this? Is it in line with the Word of God? Is it what the disciples got in the upper room? Do you have the same experience? Because there's only one Holy Spirit. So Peter says, this is that. What is it? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, verse 17. Notice, it shall come to pass in the last days. We're living in those days. It will come to pass in the last days, says God. I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And people like Richard have just had a 69th birthday. And Pastor Jim is even older. Your old men shall dream dreams, hallelujah, godly dreams. Not dreams because we've had too much cheese. Not stupid dreams, but godly dreams, dreams that are relevant, dreams that are meaningful, dreams that will help the work of God, dreams that are scriptural. For men will dream dreams. Notice, and on my servants, and the women are not left out, on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. The Bible then says Peter continued to preach a very powerful message. And in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Because Peter preached a very powerful sermon. He told them straight. What shall we do? Peter said, repent. Have a change of heart, a change of mind, change of direction. Repent, be baptized. Baptized in what? Baptized in water by total immersion. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, this is important. Who can receive the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit for? Is that something happened 2,000 years ago? Not relevant to us. Oh, it is relevant to us. Hallelujah. Verse 39, the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. It includes this little Irishman. It includes my daughter, Mirella. It includes my granddaughter, Alice. Hallelujah. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Imagine, what a baptismal service. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine lifting up the carpet, lifting up the lid, and 3,000 people being baptized? I say, Lord, bring it on. I'll get help. I'll get everybody involved. I'll baptize 10, then you 10, somebody else 10, and we'll keep going, and Fiona will help as well. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Hello? I heard of a man in a Bible school, and one of the lecturers was as completely bald and not a hair in his head. But he forgot that he didn't have any hair. So he kept pushing the hair back, this imaginary hair. And guess what several students ended up doing? Those with hair and those with no hair. So when I saw this pastor in Ireland going, and then I saw another one, Bob Gass, if you read Word for Today, he does that. I reckon he picked it up from my friend in Belfast. And I thought, I'll never do that. And what did I do today? Stop it. can easily pick up these things. Some people, they use hello, don't they? They want an answer. They want a response. They say, hello. The black people, many of them have it right. They say, do I hear a witness? All different ways of getting that response. I think what we need, I don't think I know. We need to just be confident, just keep motoring on. Those who are meant to get it will get it. Whether they say, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, preach it, brother, or whether they just sit there. As long as they get it, that's the important thing. Amen. The church grew from 120 to 3,120 in about an hour. After the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. Will you look again with me at what Peter said? Acts 2:37. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the forgiveness of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want you to notice those words in verse 38. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift. You don't have to try and work for it. You don't have to try and earn it. Oh, I've been in meetings where the person has come forward to receive the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to say, this is the person. Have you seen it? They get hold of the person's head. God preserve us. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to be shaken in. I'm not going to do it because people are listening. I don't want to drive them away who are listening by tape or by the internet. Some preachers and teachers think you have to shout it in and bawl it in while the guy stands with the tablecloth mopping the perspiration. Doesn't have to be shaken. And I've also seen, this is the person. I've seen pastors and teachers go trying to rub the Holy Spirit in. You don't have to rub it in. And I'm not going to do it because it would be a horrible sound on the recording. But maybe you've seen it. They get the microphone and they blow it. Let me say, I believe in the authority of this book, God's Word. The Holy Spirit is a gift. You don't have to shake it in. Rub it in, blow it in, shout it in. The Holy Spirit's a gift. You just receive it. Just receive it. Just surrender. Say, Lord, here I am. I receive the gift. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I receive it. Thank you very much. Question, who receives the gift? Who receives the gift? Acts 2:39. The promise is to you, to your children, to all that are far off. Notice, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Question, has the Lord called you? Yes, he has. How do I know? I know because the Bible tells me so. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4. God will have all men. Notice all. God will have all men to be what? To be saved. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But the Lord is long-suffering, patient, long-suffering to us. We're, notice, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How about John 3:16? You want to say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? That whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. You see it? God will have all men to be saved. How do I know he's called you? He'll have all men and women to be saved. How do I know he's called you? He's not willing that any should perish. How do I know he's called you? Because that's why he gave his only son to die a horrible death on a cross. For you. Let me say something very important. When you first come into a personal relationship with God, when you first come, please hear the words. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. When you first come into a personal relationship with God, God has two gifts for you. And I wonder this morning, friends, have you received both those gifts? The first gift is found in Romans 6, verse 23. What is it?
Well, I do know it, but I'm afraid that I might say the wrong thing. So I just keep quiet. I wait long enough, he'll say it. I know, I've sat there too.
Romans 6:23. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. My question to you, precious friend, is have you received eternal life? Have you received Jesus? Because that's how you get eternal life. You receive Jesus, you receive the Son of God. When you receive him, you get the gift of eternal life. And it's not like people say, well, I don't want to live forever. No, of course not. If you've got serious illness, or you've got a horrible marriage, or you're in a horrible situation where you live or work and everything's piling in on top of you, and then along comes the preacher and says, of course you come to know Jesus, you live forever. They say, no, thanks, not like this. Ah, but when you come to know Jesus, he gets in on your case. He's a counselor. He's a savior. He's a healer. There's no problem too hard for him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When people touched him in the New Testament, in the Gospels, when people touched him, it's good to switch your phone off before you come to church or put it on silent. I didn't, and I apologize. And if you were close enough, you would see a nice red face right now. But that's the difference, you see. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Not life the same as it was, but life in all its fullness. Amen. See, today, if you come to know Jesus in this service, and you say, Pastor Jim, does that mean my whole life will change? Yes, gradually it will. You'll find that he'll take over. As you allow him to, you find he'll bring everything into line, little by little, everything will come into line. He did it for me. He's done it for others around you. He'll do it for you. So the first gift is the gift of eternal life. And I said earlier, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to try and earn it. Eternal life is a gift, the gift of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And that not of yourselves. Even faith is a gift of God. The Bible says God has given to every man, every woman, every boy and girl, the measure of faith. He's given you enough faith to believe in him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Quickly, the second gift that God has for you when you first become his child is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said in Acts 2:38, repent, he said, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want to end this message with a quick reference to a story of a woman who met Jesus at a well. You know the story, many of you, John chapter 4. Jesus went out of his way to meet with this woman. A woman that had failed marriages. A woman that was now living with a man, she wasn't married to him. And Jesus knew all the details, but he still wanted to meet her. So he wanted to talk to her. Didn't condemn her, didn't wag the finger. And when she arrived to draw water, he's sitting in the well, on the well. He's weary. And he began the conversation by asking the lady, could you give me a drink of water, please? Simple. Now, I don't have time to go into it in detail, but she was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. She's amazed. How come that a Jew is speaking to a Samaritan? We are classed as scum. What's more, how come he, being a man, talking to a woman? This was very different. And she got involved in conversation with him. In verse 10, Jesus said to this woman, I'm reading from John 4, Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it is that said to you just now, give me a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you stale water, living water. I do this purposely so you remember. It gives you living water. If only you knew. She didn't know at this point. Later on, her eyes grew big. Her mouth went open because she ran back to the city. And she said, hey, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Could this be the Christ? Could this be the anointed one? Come see a man. She started a revival in Samaria. The power of one. Jesus said, if only you knew. If you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it is, it said to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he'd give you living water. You see, precious friends, this morning, Jesus is the gift of God. Paul called him the unspeakable gift. And the Bible teaches that whoever receives Jesus receives the gift of life. We've looked at it already. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Note verse 13, John 4. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, how about this, shall never thirst. That reminded me of John 6:35. Jesus said in John 6:35, he said, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. How about that? Total and permanent satisfaction. You see, Jesus is the true bread, the living bread. Jesus is the true fountain. Some of you are too young to remember some of the lovely old hymns that young Arnold and I remember. Ever heard of a hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say? You want to read all of it? I have it here in my outline. Or you can look it up online. How about the second verse? I love these words. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I have to be careful because I might lose the plot here like I did last Sunday. Because it takes me back to standing in a bar, Fiona. 10th of April, 1959, Friday night, 11 o'clock.
planning to go back to the barracks and blow my brains out because I'd lost my dad, lost my fiancé, and lost all hope. And life was too painful. And I was finishing my drink when God sent John, a paratrooper, in to share Christ with me. And my life changed that night for good forever. Hallelujah. But that night, hallelujah, give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. This is my testimony, Miss Fiona. I came to Jesus. I put down my beer. I listened to John. We ended up leaving the bar, going to an empty church in Aldershot and praying together. And I did just this. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched. My soul revived. And now, do you know it? I live in Him. Are those not great words? That happened to you? I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched. My soul revived. And now I live in Him. Hallelujah. Give me 5 minutes. And don't time me. Paul the Apostle said 5 or 6 finallys. I'm in good company, but I'll try. Jesus said in John 4, verse 14, the water that I shall give a person shall be in them a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to link as I finish John 7:37. John 7:37, I'm reading from the NIV. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, John 7. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him or her. Verse 39, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. I found a lovely verse in Isaiah 58, verse 11, that I could link to that verse. It says this, you will be like a spring whose waters never fail. How about that?
Well, you can't expect a lot at my age.
That doesn't line up with this, does it? And Psalm, is it 92? Speaks of us young people. They will still do what? They will still bear fruit in what? So come on, Richard, shape up. I know he does. He's probably thinking right now, why is he picking on me? Probably because I know he can take it and he knows I love him. But that's the secret, you see. That's the secret of staying young. That's the secret of being able to smile despite what you're going through. Somebody says, how are you? You're still able to say, oh, I'm okay, thank you. I'm getting through. Said to someone this morning, how are you? And the person said, I won't tell you who it was, said, I'm fighting. I said, I'm in your corner. I thought, yes, let me get at the devil. I almost did this. For the people watching, listening by recording, I was pretending to take my jacket off, ready for a fight. And thank God that person who said that, they're not in the corner alone fighting. Jesus is in the corner. And greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Well, I need to finish. I think I've got 2 minutes. I have a question as I end. I mentioned two gifts
that God wants to give everyone. Number one, he wants to give you the gift of eternal life. Have you got it? Can I ask you to do something bold? And there's no cameras around, nobody's photographing, no one's going to take names. Can I ask all those who have received that first gift, would you do something? I'm going to put my hand up. Would you join me? You received the gift. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought, I got to get him saved this morning. Bless you. Thank you. That's wonderful. Then here's another one. And I'm not going to ask you to respond, just in your heart this morning. That's the first gift. I'm glad you've got that gift. The second gift, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? If you haven't, here's what I'd recommend. You go home. You find somewhere quiet, if it's possible. If you can't find somewhere quiet in the house, go for walkies. I have a friend in Ireland, goes to Omo Park in Belfast, big famous park, lots of trees. And he's got one or two trees that he goes and he prays under the trees. No one knows he's there, only Jesus and him. If you have to just say to your family, excuse me, I'm just going for a little walk. We'll come with you. Oh, please no. No. There's something I need to do. And my precious friend, I remember, won't you please, it's a gift. Supposing this was my gift to you. And I said, oh, Fiona, I'm sorry to pick on you. I just know you love it. Fiona, I've got a gift for you. What would you have to do to get it? Just get up. Reach out. Take it. Say, Pastor Jim, thank you very much. That's true, isn't it? Yeah? It's going to be my birthday. Just thought I'd mention it. 3rd of August. But seriously, someone gives you a gift, you just say, oh, thank you so much. You shouldn't have. You know, we all do that one. Oh, you shouldn't have. But thank you very much. We never think, it's a bad illustration. I haven't got a penny in here. Ruth got all my money. But if I had some money in there, I'd have pulled it out and said, well, can I give you something for it? You wouldn't do that, would you? It'd be an insult, wouldn't it? So remember, the Holy Spirit's a gift. What do? You receive him. Say, Holy Spirit, welcome. Come into my life. Fill me. Fill me to overflowing. Pastor Jim spoke about rivers. Maybe you got a bit dry lately. May God touch you afresh. Touch you afresh. Fill you with this Holy Spirit. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That will refresh people. I want to finish with a true story. I will come back on this subject, God willing, in future weeks. I want to talk about the power to witness, power to worship, power to work, power to withstand the devil. But here's a true story, and I end with this, and then Brother Arnold will come with announcements. Take our tithes and our offerings, and we meet next door for refreshments. This is a true story. Some of you may know Notting Hill Gate in London. There's a famous church there called Kensington Temple. It's an Elam church. Pastor at the moment is Colin Dye. But go back some years, the pastor was a man called Wyn Lewis, Welshman. Yeah, a little man, but a powerful, he was dynamite, very powerful. I love to hear him preach and teach, very motivational. One Sunday morning, he's leaving his office, his vestry, as ministers do, just before the service. And he has his book and he has his notes and his outline and everything. And as he leaves the office and shuts the door, he says, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Wyn, can I see your order of service for a moment? And he was taken aback. He was surprised. He said, well, yeah, sure. And he said, I heard the Holy Spirit say this. Oh, I like that hymn. That's a good one. Oh, a note song. I like that. Oh, and you've got her singing. Yes, she's good. And I like the title of your message. That's good. That should go down well. But tell me, where do I come in? Oh, I see. Right at the very end. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. By now he has Wynne's attention. And he said, Wynne, I want to be involved in the whole service. And Wynne would tell you he's now with Jesus, but if he was here, he would say, a tear came to my eye, he said, as I said to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, forgive me. Holy Spirit, I want you to be in charge this morning as never before. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And he went out into the sanctuary, just a large church, Kensington Temple. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, Wynne, there's a lady in the gallery, told him which row, told him what color she was wearing, and said, Wynne, I want you to say to that lady, she does not need to leave the sanctuary and commit suicide because God loves her. God has a wonderful plan for her life. And if she'll surrender her life to him, he'll sort it all out today. So he spoke the words in faith. He said, there's a lady just up there, mentioned the row, mentioned the color of the hat and the dress she was wearing. Said, sister, would you stand up for a moment? She said, who, me? Yes, you. Thank you. And he told her what the Holy Spirit had said to him. And she began to cry. And people came round her and to comfort her. When the service was finished, he went to her. She said, my marriage is on the rocks. My husband been unfaithful. We're in financial trouble. I'm not well. I'm due to go to the hospital during the week for a major scan. And she said, I just felt life wasn't worth living. So I was going to go home and end it all. Here's the question. Wasn't it a good job that Wynne involved the Holy Spirit that morning? May God help us in Wellspring to be a truly Pentecostal church. Amen. I said to Sister Eliska, I said, darling, you need to be ready because one Sunday morning, I might say, sister, would you mind very much? I'd like to preach first this morning. Or I'd like to call a healing line or a prayer line. So don't get all upset. Oh, no, I won't. Let's be Pentecostal. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And leave the Holy Spirit free in this church and in your life in particular to do his work. And all God's people said. That might have been 7 minutes, but bless you, brother. Thank you. And then we're going to sing.